If you want to avoid boring, basic, and bland gifts this year, Uncommon Goods is your secret weapon. Uncommon Goods is here to make your holiday shopping stress-free by scouring the globe for the most remarkable and truly unique gifts for everyone on your list. Whether you're shopping for your secret Santa or your entire family, Uncommon Goods knows exactly what they want. It's so cool. I checked out the site. It's so eclectic. It's really like one-stop shopping that doesn't feel like you did one-stop shopping. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/Silverman. That's uncommongoods.com/Silverman for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary. Hey. Hi, everybody. It's your old pal, Sarah Silverman. And today's episode actually is live. This is me just introducing it from the studio, but we did a live podcast with live questions recently at the old Largo. And Rory came out, my love, my boyfriend, also has real credits, like he ran the Daily Show with Jon Stewart for many years, and he's at Jimmy Kimmel Live now. And he comes out and held the mic and took questions in the audience for me. Enjoy. Hi, thank you guys for coming. Let me tell you exactly what will happen. I always like to know exactly what will happen, or else I'm just like, were there 30 minutes left? Or are there 100 minutes left? I can't orient myself. I don't want to keep you here. My biggest fear is like holding you hostage, because I've never done my podcast live. This is a real experiment. And it's not that funny. I mean, but it's not so serious. Don't let me get too serious. But all right, let's record a podcast, see what happens. Hello. It's me, your old pal, Sarah Silverman. What is this gonna be like? This is an experiment, and you guys are gonna help me with it. I usually say a few things. I need to blow my nose. I only have a napkin. So. Really? A fancy? Oh, thank you, my lover. Rory! Rory! It's Rory. He's going to be taking the questions, so that'll be fun. For listeners at home, absolutely nothing is happening right now. My nose has just been, how am I doing? Thank you. I got several applause breaks. I wiped my nose. That was one. But now let's go to the fun part, where you guys are the trajectory that we take in the podcast. Let's bring out Rory Albanese.
Hey.
Hi, Rory.
Hi, Sarah.
It's me, your lover.
I know. Nice to see you. So what's the plan here?
Okay, here's the plan. You've got a wireless mic. You'll go down those steps. And did you... I guess if you have a question, you know, once he goes down there, you'll raise your hand. We'll bring up the lights a little, and we'll play it fast and loose. There's no way to vet these. But warning, if it's like, what's your favorite thing you've been in? I think that's not interesting. Or if it's something I've answered a million times, I might go like next. But it's no offense to you. And I can just say that, and that means you can't be offended.
What level of question are you looking for? Give a little more direction.
Anything. But, you know, I mean, like, if you're asking a question and it's like you're being funny and there's like really nothing I can do with it, we'll laugh and then we'll move on. But I really just want like real questions about your lives, you know, or thoughts. Like, not like I'm the best at advice, but, I give it anyway.
Yeah.
And
by the way, weren't asked to wear masks tonight because of COVID. It's just for anonymity. So don't be embarrassed. Just ask anything.
just anything, comments, questions, stuff about, you know, whatever. I don't know. But, you know, I mean, I might, if I've answered, if I've had a million questions that way, I might go, oh, let's go to the, and then you won't feel bad about it because I said, don't be offended. All right, let's play we have a voicemail song, but I amended it for tonight. What you got? You know, I talked to Rory right before this, and he goes, what if no one asks questions? And then I fully panicked, and now it's, oh, good.
All right, this
well, we've got some right. voicemails that I asked Raj and Arvin, my producers, to pull some just in case.
All right, start with your name.
My name is Terrell.
Terrell?
With a T, like Daryl, but with a T, like Thomas.
Terrell?
Yes. I know, right? Yeah.
Terrell.
Yeah. So actually, my question was about the Sarah Silverman program.
Okay.
My question was just that obviously the show ended like well before it should have. And I was wondering if you and the writers had other like storylines, subject matters, character arcs that you were planning to get to in later seasons. I have a couple specific questions if that.
Yeah, get specific because okay. That's like. Like, I'm sure there's a good answer, but I don't...
Like, for example, do you believe that Laura ever finally cuts off Sarah and makes her pay for her own rent and get a job?
Well, she did do that in one episode, remember? And then my mustache grew in because I didn't have money to wax it. And... no, I think she's always going to be an enabler.
Do you think that Sarah ever gets back together with God? And do you think that Sarah
Tucker.
Ever gets reunited with her son, Seth, and her fake daughter, Heather/Sarah?
Oh, my gosh. Well, my fake daughter is like a big, like, Disney or Nickelodeon. I think Disney kid now, or woman. I think she's, like, sexy now. And... Gosh, that was fun. And Seth is a demon. And who's, what was the other one? Tucker Smallwood, who's, yeah, who played God. Who's a wonderful man. I was just, anyway, I'm mumbling and rambling, and this would have been cut. And maybe it will be. But, gee, I don't know. It would be great to do something now that people do that and see what these characters are up to and how they've changed and grown. And, you know, I mean, it's funny because that character, which was the character I was in Jesus's Magic, is an arrogant ignorant. That's how I always explained her. And then we had a president that was one, and it just, the whole thing just became a bummer. Like, not like all that, way before that it became, but comedy is not evergreen and sometimes it needs to stay in the past, but it would be interesting to explore what that show today would look like with more voices and more, I mean, you know, Brian Posehn and Steve Agee, for instance, are straight, but I thought it was beautiful how they played Brian and Steve and their love for each other. And we had neighbors that were these two older Boston guys that were a couple that lived next door to us at the time. And they were like, Brian and Steve is us, right? Is that us? It wasn't based on them, but it did seem to give voice to a kind of gay man that hasn't been like really reflected in art that way. Is just, you know, we didn't even tell Brian and Steve they were a couple. I think they assumed they were roommates the first couple episodes, and we didn't want them to change anything, you know? But that doesn't really answer anything you asked, but I feel like it's a substantial kind of question. Rory?
Yeah, I just had a follow-up about...
Too long, sorry.
How much time do you put in those arms, dude? Nice work. Yeah. I feel like they're done.
You know, you did it.
Mission accomplished on those things.
Here's some ads.
MeUndies. MeUndies. Who doesn't love getting new undies for the holidays? Nobody, that's who. MeUndies is your go-to spot for snuggly soft undies and more that all of your loved ones will adore. Get merry in matching sets, perfect for binge watching, or holiday your way however you like with new limited edition prints. The holiday spirit just got real. Try MeUndies and get 20% off your first purchase plus free standard shipping and free returns when you go to MeUndies.com/Sarah. I love MeUndies. I actually just bought more MeUndies. I didn't even try to gouge them for free undies. I just love them. They're just super silky soft. Spend less time gifting and more time living with the new MeUndies holiday collection. From undies and bralettes to PJ sets, MeUndies has something for every name on your list. Shop classic plaids for dads, holiday sweater prints for fun friends, and the softest loungewear ever for all the cuddly ones in your life. Available in sizes XS through 4XL, MeUndies has everything you need to make your favorite people smile this holiday season, all in one convenient place. And maybe a little something for yourself, too. This year, holiday your way with MeUndies. MeUndies! To get 20% off your first order, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/Sarah. That's MeUndies.com/Sarah. Chime, 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 chime. Let's hear a song about Chime. What's the first thing you do when you wake up? Is it checking up on your credit score? I didn't think so. At Chime, that is exactly what they do. With their secured Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card, you can start by building credit with your own money. Chime reports your payments to credit bureaus to help you build credit over time. Their members see an increase of 30 points on average. All of this with no annual fees, large security deposits, or credit checks to apply. So start your credit journey with Chime. Sign up takes only 2 minutes and doesn't affect your credit score. Get started at chime.com/Sarah. That's chime.com/Sarah. The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by Stride Bank N.A. pursuant to a license from Visa USA, Chime checking account, and $200 qualifying direct deposit required to apply for the secured Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card. Regular on-time payment history can have a positive impact on your credit score. Impact a score may vary, and some user scores may not improve. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal fees may apply except at MoneyPass ATMs in a 7-Eleven or any Allpoint or Visa Plus Alliance ATM.
And we're back.
All right, more questions are in the back. You want to meet me halfway, or I have to climb all the way in there? I'll meet you this way. How about that?
Oh my gosh. Hello, Sarah Silverman.
Hi.
I'm losing my mind.
Really?
Yeah, I'm completely losing my mind right now. First of all, obsessed with you. Love you. You're an inspiration.
Thank you.
My name's Claire Youngerman. I don't know if I said that already. Claire Youngerman.
Oh, okay. Claire Youngerman. Thank you.
Oh my God, you said it. No, so I just turned 25. So I feel like I'm starting to approach this like quarter life crisis era, which is so funny because it's like assuming I'm living to 100. But
oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, what is that? So I was wondering, have you ever felt that way? Like you in your maybe in your 20s felt like this quarter life crisis feeling of searching for meaning or just kind of feeling like you don't really know what you're doing? And if so, what did you do?
I didn't.
Oh.
I'm going to be, because
oh,
I'll tell you why I think. I think because my experience of 25 is so different from yours. I cannot imagine coming of age in this time. And I, my heart breaks free. I'm sure, I know you're fine, but I just can't imagine having to be that age with social media, with the internet, with, I mean, I'm old and I'm so swayed by even this, what I all said. Was it even worth it? Is it even in your minds? Is it just my Twitter algorithm constantly trending the Jews? You know, like it's probably only my phone, you know, I don't even know what other people are seeing or if I'm just being, fucked with by the algorithm because rage sells, you know, like I'm very lost in this moment and I'm twice your age. So I can't imagine. I mean, anyone right now who's not having like an existential crisis weekly is not alive. So like to be going through this in your 20s and is really something. And I look forward to the books and the pieces and the art that comes from your generation, because it's what you're going through is so unique to you. We all are going through it, but to be in the prime of your life during it and where most interactions are not in person. I mean, like, there are people I hate online. And when I meet people in person, I was telling Reggie this, it's like, there's almost no one I've met that I don't like. I mean, like, I really like people, even if we're polar opposites, even if they had hate in their heart, you can see pain in their eyes. It's different in person. There's almost no one I couldn't love in person. But it's just so different. And so I know that what I experienced, and I went through lots of things, and everyone has a heartbreaking story I can't imagine what being your age now is. And I really would love to hear all about it. Not right now or from you necessarily, but it's an extraordinary time, and to be where you are is unique, I think. Rory, how am I doing?
Good. I think that was great. And but just so you know, I'm 27, and I totally feel you. Just smoke a lot of weed, you'll be fine. Oh, shit, on the other side. All right, I'm coming down to you, and then I'll come back up that way, all right? You won't get this reference.
This guy is literally doing this.
Yeah.
What does this come from? The warming up of the hands that indicates excitement. Ooh, I'm warming up my hands. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I'm rubbing my hands together. You know what's weird about that? Like, I always think of this too. There is a tune that if you hum it or sing it or whistle it, it says, I'm guilty of something, and I want you to think I'm innocent of it. And it goes like this. Do-do-do-do-do. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think
I grew up in, if someone was trying to seem innocent, they'd go do-do-do-do-do. Like, that's literally the tune that means you did something fucked.
Yeah, I know that tune. But I feel like people, when they sing that song, know that they're guilty. You know, I feel like I don't know. I have to think about that. It feels like it might be out of Bugs Bunny.
I'm really going to write a think piece about it.
Yeah, you should. All right. Name and question.
Hi there. My name is Christopher. See you. I'm a YouTube watcher of your podcast.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if there's a lot of those out here, but...
No.
Yeah, it's my Thursdays, so thank you for that. And I'm a little surprised that you thought that nobody would have questions. I feel like I have about 80.
Oh, good.
So,
if we need to, we can come back to you.
Can I either give you kind of a light one or a heavier one? What are you in the mood for right now?
Ooh. I don't know.
This is a decision you have to make.
Okay.
I'll give you a choice. You want to talk about resentments or musical theater?
Oh, both. Let's just give you two.
Okay, great. So.
Tell me your name again, Christopher.
My name is Christopher, and my last name is Youngsman, very much like her last name.
Oh, my gosh. Youngsman?
Youngsman means young man in Dutch.
Oh, I was going to ask if it was Jewish, but
it's not. It is not.
That's wonderful. I get very excited when I have non-Jews. A friend of mine, I was in Portland doing a show, and a friend of mine texted me, and she's like, literally every Jew in Portland is in this theater. And I was like, oh my God, I would be such a, like, you could really kill a lot of Jews if you blew up one of my shows. I'm not saying you should. Please don't. Definitely don't.
Just
put
so
it.
You know, this is why your algorithm keeps coming back. I know. With all this
I know.
Stuff.
And he's so sick of me with the Jewish, Jewish, Jewish. Yeah. I am. I didn't even know I was Jewish until I, you know, I mean, the only reason
she's really
I
really just in it for the arguing. You know.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up in New Hampshire where I would go, oh, I'm Jewish, but like, I'm totally not. And then growing up, I look back and go, oh, there's a reason I had that instinct. But anyway.
Anyway, musical theater.
Oh, either one. Yeah.
Great. Okay. So we'll do resentments first and then we'll finish. And then
okay.
I'll finish my set with musical theater.
Oh, will we?
Okay. We will. Sure. So, so resentments. I'm wondering if you carry resentments in your life or if it's something that you've been able to overcome. Now, I know like the 12-step programs dealing with resentments are like, you know, I'm gonna bastardize this, but something like, you know, God doesn't make any mistakes, right? So anything that happens, if it's bad or good, whatever, you just, you know, let go and let God. Right?
Right.
Let go, let God, let go, like a higher power. Now, you're someone who doesn't believe in God, right?
How dare you?
I've overheard, right? So maybe you're an agnostic, right? Who believes in something, right? Or you're an atheist who believes in nothing, right? So when you have something, like a coworker says something terrible about you to another person and you resent that they did that or someone took your parking spot or whatever that is,
yeah,
right? Or you know, Trump, right. You might have a resentment towards Trump. How do you process that and move forward? Or do you let it just like
do you want
hang
the
in your
ideal
soul?
Answer or
no,
the
I
truth?
Think, I think mean, that, I... no, the truth, because I think the ideal is just that let go, let God, that's the ideal, let's all do that, better said than done.
I am definitely the best I've ever been with this stuff.
Great.
But I'm not perfect. Rory will tell you I can stew and process. There, he's got something to say.
No, I don't know. I'm just listening with my hand.
Did you say I'm just listening with my hand?
Yeah, because you thought I was going to. But no, anyone stews. You can stew.
Yeah, but I do think I process things, and I've gotten a lot of skills from my therapist. And he, too, would say, listen, it's everything that happens is essential, no matter how much it seems not that way. And that it's funny because I was like, my therapist said this thing about how life is a performance and we all have to play parts, like whether we are the bad guy or the good guy or you think you're the good guy. It's like all the parts are essential. And then I think Rory or whoever I was talking to was like, you mean like all the world's a stage? And you know, it's like, oh yeah, I guess Shakespeare said something similar. But he's given me some skills to work with, like just silly things like you drop your groceries. Like that happened to me, like my groceries just fell through the bag and then I remembered what he said and he said just to look up to the universe and say, thank you for everything just as it is. And it really works, not because I suddenly go like, yeah, but because it makes me laugh, you know, and then you're in a better mood. And what I do believe in, and this is so like somebody moved to LA, but I do think it's real, energy. I believe in energy. It can't be, what is it, created or destroyed. But I've seen it completely change. I've seen like someone like give me the finger in traffic and immediately get filled with rage. They transferred energy to me. And I've made people angry then turn into like a really good mood, and it's that same energy, but it's changed. And I love that. Like I think my religion is energy and science and love, but and Mr. Rogers. But I am pretty good. I'm pretty good. I was a little cunty this morning. Then I apologized. Hey! I feel like I Wait, did I answer your question?
I just want to be clear. When she pointed at me and said she was a little cunty this morning, I never would use that word. I was just saying, I guess so. I didn't use that word. I would say maybe you were a little disagreeable.
Yeah. It's like, I guess I won't be going back to sleep.
Yeah.
We started the morning talking about trans rights. Not fighting, but it was just like, we were like talking about a big issue early. And I wanted to go back to sleep. But I participated in it. And then I suddenly was like, now I'm not going to go back to sleep. Is that a good story, do you think? You think they like that?
I mean, I think...
They're probably like, was he against it? No.
I think a lot of people are clicking subscribe right now on the podcast.
You know, like, we get deep early, and I meant to go back to sleep. Well, I mean,
the truth is, it's only early in your town, in your neck of the woods. It was like 9 in the morning, you know what I mean? It wasn't like 6, you know? We were way into the time where you can have a cup of coffee and talk about trans rights, you know?
Yeah.
Anytime Fox and Friends is over, I think it's a good time to talk. Yeah. Should we move on to
Rory puts on Fox News because we should watch everything, but I just don't want to, but you know.
I put it on because I fax jokes to Greg Gutfeld just to see if they get on. I'm just curious. Trying to get a couple of hot J's on Gutfeld.
Some hot J's. I'm Gutfeld with a
exclamation!
An exclamation point.
This isn't the crowd for Fox News jokes.
And what? Let's go musical theater.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm a total musical theater nerd.
Same.
And in fact, I saw Bedwetter in New York City.
You did?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Rachel Hoffman, Telsey casting.
Oh my God!
She gave me a ticket. I've worked with David Yazbek. Name drop: David Yazbek. Rick Crom and I played the same role in the musical You're in Town.
Oh.
And Seth Rudetsky was the very first person I ever met in New York City.
No,
he played for an
way.
Audition. So, like, I'm telling you, I'm a musical theater a freakazoid.
Christopher.
Yeah, I know, right? So
I was just with Yazbek. We just have been making changes for. Yeah.
Oh, good. That's kind of part of my question. Was like, okay, so now that you've had that, you're in the world. You're right in you're in the world of musical theater.
Yeah.
You're in New York City. I wanted to know if. Even though it was an off-Broadway show, did the Broadway community embrace you at all in it as far as, like, you know, Broadway Cares and all those sort of Easter Bonnets and all those sort of that part of that community of Broadway?
I don't know what Easter Bonnets means.
Oh, okay. It's to raise money for Actors
Broadway
Fund
Cares
and Broadway Cares. For Broadway Cares.
Well, so B.B. Newworth is very active.
And B.B. Newworth is very new.
And she plays my Nana. I'm not in this show. It's a musical about the year I was 10. But I'm not in it. And B.B. Newworth plays my grandmother.
And she was
That's
fantastic.
All I'll tell you right now. She was incredible.
She was really incredible.
So
my question for you is...
question.
And I get this a lot. And if you're anybody who's in musical theater...
Remember at the beginning when I was like, don't just ask me questions about my career. And then I'm like, go on.
So, if you could pick, and I know one of them is going to be it, top three musicals that you like. Do you have that?
Oh.
Is that too hard? I know.
Oh, well,
I know one
definitely
is be
Little
Les
Shop of Horrors.
Really?
Little
Why?
Shop of Horrors, no brainer. Because I saw it as a kid in Boston, and I went bananas, and I, like, fell in love with Ellen Green, and I... imitated her singing, and we were just singing Suddenly Seymour like a month ago, and it made us late for Largo, and I was like, people are gonna think we were fighting, but it's probably cooler that they think that and not that we got swept away singing Suddenly Seymour in the bathroom.
The rule Sarah and I have is she's supposed to tell me before she brings up these personal issues on her podcast,
right? Is that cool what I said?
Yeah, totally cool. Totally cool.
I mean, like, I feel like Les Mis, just to be true to my young self who loved it so much. But also, I would say, Hamilton and Book of Mormon, obs. But also, like, I loved Man of La Mancha. And I remember telling my mom, like, I want to play Aldonza one day. And she was like, oh, sweetie, you don't have the voice for that. All right. right, what else we got? Thank you, Christopher. That was great.
That was, great. That was awesome. I got a lot of time to relax. Man, now I feel torn because I promise you.
I
were
do
next.
Love that one song, "Ring of Keys" from Fun Home. I mean, look it up, "Ring of Keys" from the Tonys. It's just beyond. It's beyond. All right. Sorry.
It's all right. This got very Broadway.
Here's some ads.
Manscaped, baby. Santa, baby. It must be a holiday miracle because the sponsors of today's show, Manscaped, are providing the tools your man needs to stuff all of your stockings, if you know what I mean. I don't know what I mean. That's right. This holiday season, Manscaped has vowed to make sure your man's tree is standing tall with two presents underneath. Oh, that's balls. Trust me, ladies, Santa's cookies aren't the only thing you're going to want to get your hands on. Have them join the 7 million other sexy lumberjacks who use Manscaped and get 20% off plus free shipping by going to manscaped.com/Silverman. Oh, baby, is it cold outside. I use Manscaped. This is, you know, it isn't just for men. It's a grooming tool. I mean, if you have a bush, you can use this. It is fantastic. And I just used it last night to shave Rory's neck. Need some surefire winning stocking stuffers? Well, here's some ideas for you. The Manscaped Ultra Smooth Kit. The Manscaped Signature Body Wash plus 2-in-1 Shampoo. Shears 2.0 Luxury 4-Piece Nail Kit, a gift for both of you to share. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Manscaped's new Persevere Cologne, sexy yet delightful. Make sure you hurry to their site to ensure these wild gifts show up before the holiday season. And while you're at it, get 20% off plus free shipping by going to manscaped.com/Silverman. That's right, 20% off. Plus free shipping by going to manscaped.com/Silverman. Santa, forgive me. Sometimes it's okay to be on the naughty list.
And we're back.
All right, here we go. Name and question.
Like 15 more minutes?
My name is Monique Biro.
Who? What? Shapiro?
Yeah. Monique Biro. And I have some Jewish in me, too. I guess you could say it like that.
Would you like some? Sorry. Half of a
I got a side joke. Of Jew right over here. I want to make an offer. I have a question, but I suddenly found I want to make you an offer, which is I'm a professional cuddler, and I don't know if you've ever had a professional cuddle session, but I want to offer that to you because I think you might enjoy it.
Are you really?
Yep, I am. I'm certified. Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
I want to be a professional cuddler.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, so I'll connect with Rory.
What's
it's platonic. It's platonic.
What do you pull in doing that?
sessions go anywhere from 150 to 300 an hour.
Is so, 300 like are we doing around the world or something, or how is it?
I mean, I'm not going to talk about me personally, but in my community, there are people that are flown in from places to other places because they have a connection with their clients that they fly them in.
Okay.
But the question I wanted to ask you actually is a relationship question, and it doesn't have to be personal. Right. And it's, I think, typical. And I just thought it might be kind of, I'd like to kind of add fun to my life by hearing how you deal with when you live with someone and they load the dishwasher really differently than you do.
Rory might want to take this one.
This is a really good question. I have a question, though, about the professional cuddling as well. No, just does anyone, have you guys ever heard of, like, dogs? Because
oh, yeah.
You can... They'll cuddle for free.
Oh, yeah.
They will cuddle for free. I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying.
Well, but it's different. It is different.
But I think we should get in on the professional cuddling. That sounds fantastic.
We share different jobs, and we're very good at, like, we do our different jobs. And we actually like to clean. Like, we do good job cleaning up and stuff. Like, we're good at this.
She said it doesn't have to be about us, you know? It could be about anybody.
But it
yeah,
could be.
It could be, yeah. We have a lot of...
I learned a lot from Rory because I learned...
Because I believe women belong in the kitchen.
I learned... It was very hard for me to learn to let the dishwasher do its job.
Sarah's one of those people who likes to, like, wash the dishes and then put them in the dishwasher. Because at that point, it's like, well, you know, then we just wash the dishes.
It was really hard to unlearn that because I grew up actually without... I grew up in New Hampshire. I know I seem like an urban Jew, but I grew up where a wood stove heated our home and we did not have a dishwasher.
Have you guys ever seen that show Little House on the Prairie?
And we had a well. Water came from our well. Yeah. I mean, serious.
And they wash clothing in the river on a washboard.
Yeah. You don't see Jews represented in that way on show business. It's crazy because apparently we completely run it. But when you see Jews, they're like scumbag lawyers always. Not always, the Goldbergs. All right.
So what was the question?
We answered it.
Oh, it was about
what,
did
we spend 10 minutes on a dishwasher?
All right. All right,
we
right
got
here.
A lot out of it. Cuddler.
Okay.
We'll end in 14.
My name is
doing okay. Am I holding you hostage? Sorry, go. Okay. I'm so sorry.
My name is Marcy. I'm an artist and a different type of artist, like more visual. But I just wanted to know, like, what do you think is the most important thing about creating art and, like, you know, putting things out into the world for people to, like, you know, enjoy?
Well, I almost said I love art. I love art. You know, I can't remember who's, a woman said this to me that I didn't know well, at the Comedy Store years ago. And she said, "You express yourself however you see fit." And I was like, wow, I don't know, but I do think it's important to express yourself, and that art is important. It tells the story of our lives more than news, I think, you know. I don't have any. If I could think about this, I might say something beautiful. But it's a beautiful question, and maybe I suddenly just feel like this, if someone feels like saying like they have an answer, I would say like say it, because maybe there's something beautiful about art. And I can't remember at all what he said, but I recently saw Ethan Hawke online in some video talking about art, and I don't remember a single thing he said except that I remember thinking, oh my God, that's so beautiful. So look it up. You know, you can look it up. I don't know from him, but it was like mind-blowingly beautiful, and it was about art. So I'll connect you to that without remembering really literally any single thing you said.
Yeah, and by the way, any of these questions tonight, you can just Google them. I don't know if that undercuts the whole premise, but everything's
online.
I'm
the only one with the answer.
All right, we'll go here, and this is simpler.
Hey, Sarah.
Hi.
My name is Brian.
Hi, Brian.
I am a recently single gay man in his mid to late 30s.
Here we go.
I'm just constantly watching all of my straight friends kind of progress their heteronormative lives by, you know, getting married, having kids, buying houses, and I just constantly, in my heart of hearts, I know we're on different paths, inherently just different.
Who, your partner and you?
No, I am very single. So me and my straight friends that are all have their lives going forward. I know I'm on a different path than they are inherently, but I can't shake this primal feeling that I'm falling behind everybody else. What advice would you give to somebody like me that's just...
I'm so glad this is live because I have questions.
Okay.
What do you mean that you feel like they're on a different path? In what way?
Like, as a queer person, you just kind of start life later than a straight person in general. So, and I know that, but like, when it comes down to it, and I'm just seeing another friend get married, buy their house, have their second kid, and I just broke up with somebody where I feel like I'm taking a step backwards and just everyone else is flying forward. I just wanted to know how, like, what you would say, some advice that could like help me not feel like I'm just like falling behind everybody else.
You're not falling behind at all, because every experience you're having is bringing you closer to where you're going to be. You know, that they're important. You're the sum of all your experiences. So none of these relationships have been a waste of time. And I know you, it's just instinctive in us to want to find a partner or find, but really try to enjoy being alone. Are you good at being alone?
Shit, I took the mic.
That's okay. Yeah, well, yeah. Because until you love being alone, and being in a relationship has to be so, you have to want it so bad that you're willing to give that up, I think is a good way to go. But you are not behind. It's not a race. Your straight friends are also not a monolith. You know, they all have their struggles, their comps. They're all going to get divorced, and you're by the time you're, I mean, it's like everyone is starting and stopping. Everyone is starting and stopping. Listen, I'm 51 and childless, and which is not a failure. If you could see my face, like the audience, you'd see that I was very much telling myself that, and I don't feel that way. I don't. I mean, it's true that what I say, I love kids. But the only thing I love more than kids is doing anything I want at all times. But just because I know I made the right decision for me doesn't mean that it's, there are moments where, first of all, you're starting by comparing yourself to others, which is what we all do naturally, but try to be aware of it. And you're doing great. Look at you, you're hot. You're beautiful. You give off a kindness, and there's no track. We're on a planet in outer space. Like, grab joy where you can find it, and do your thing. You're gonna be fine. You're gonna be great. You're fresh meat. You're like totally cute.
Thank you.
And
tell you what helps.
I'm not worried about you if that helps.
Also, when you're feeling that way, a good thing to do is hire a professional cuddler. Hey! You know, get up in there.
That's why he's a bro.
Get your cuddle on, man.
You know, it's the professional cuddler thing. What, just real quickly, it made me think of there. I had heard that years ago that there were volunteers at Cedars Sinai. Is that how you say it? What did I say? Sinai. You should talk in that microphone you had in your hand.
I gave it away.
Yeah. Because that was a good one. But it made me think of, so at the hospital, local hospital here, they used volunteers that would hold infants that were stranded, that didn't, because it helps them, you know, to be held and loved. It's essential. And I thought, oh my God, I'm calling. And the waiting list to volunteer is so much longer than the babies that need to be held, which is, I thought.
Also, they don't, anyone who calls the hospital Cyanide, they won't let hold a baby.
All right, what do we got?
Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
I'm Jonathan.
Hi, Jonathan.
I adore you like everyone else here.
Thanks.
When you speak with or see Dave Chappelle again, how do you feel that conversation might go?
I hope we hug and talk about it or not talk about it or I don't know. I mean, listen, I am not looking for an apology or something. I'm so tired of, why do people want apology? Like, there's not, they're so empty if they're asked for. But this is one piece of him. And you know, I don't know. I'm trying to think of an answer, and when the truth is so easy, I don't know. But I care for him, and in person I love Mosby. I really do. I feel angry at what he said, but I also know, you know, I know people who are probably comics that he's best friends with that are Jewish that probably wrote some of those jokes with him, you know? I think most people don't feel powerful. They're maybe not aware of the power that they have. And, you know, I actually think he does, but I also think kind of nobody does, you know? Like, I realized that this is the weirdest analogy, but when I was young and had a lot of prowess and a lot of sexual power, I slept with guys. I hurt their feelings. It never occurred to me that I could hurt their feelings or that I could hurt them at all. Or like, it didn't occur to me that they were human beings, you know, like because I felt like I had no power and they had all the power. And to a degree, I think that was probably true. But I do think that powerful people or influential people don't always understand what they're wielding. And I don't know. Any thoughts? Do you have any thoughts? I don't know. I've been in my car and imagined talking to him and said lots of things, lots of smart things. But, huh? Well, I fucking did share with us. I don't know. I'm depleted. I don't.
By the way, that's how Sarah actually drives. It's very nauseating.
Do 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 do.
Question. Oh shit! They're really popping up now. I'll go down this way and I'll come around.
He is not a bad person, and he's done some beautiful things, but he's done some things.
You're talking about Chappelle now, right?
Sorry, yeah.
Hello?
It worked.
Hi, it worked. I turned it off. Hi, Sarah. I'm Michael.
Hi, Michael.
Nice to meet you. I made the great decision during COVID to wean myself off of Lexapro after being on it for 10 years. It's an anti-anxiety medication.
And yeah, I'm aware of it. Yeah. Did you do this with the guidance of a doctor?
I sure did.
Okay.
And I, long story short, during like the one day then COVID got real and Tom Hanks had it and the stock market crashed and it was raining in LA and I ran out of...
Raining in LA.
It was bad.
Is the final straw.
It was a really bad day. And I ran, CVS ran out of my pills and I just got even more anxious. I'm like, now I'm reliant on this CVS during a pandemic and I just freaked out. So I needed to get off of it. Got off of it and realized that most of my anxiety was always focusing on the future, whether or not it was real or not. Like we would be driving on the freeway and I'm like, what if my car just flipped over right now and I died? Or like, what if gravity just stopped and we all floated into space? Like that's what I thought about all the time.
Well, yeah, we all do that, not to that degree. Yeah. That's, you're telling yourself horror stories. Yeah. And it, you know, it's just like the, you know, when we were kids and we'd walk down the street and we'd go, if I don't pass that crack in the road by the time that car passes me, I'll die. And, you know, I thought it was just me and you thought it was just you, but it turns out this is a common thing. And the horror stories you tell yourself too. My therapist said that's how we deal with mortality, that's the thing that we do. But, another therapy thing is exactly that when we worry about the future, that's anxiety. That's what anxiety is. And then when we are focused on the past, that's depression. So the only choice is to be in the moment, which is something that we have to just always practice because nobody can do it. But that's why it's a practice, you know, like you just got to catch yourself and just catching yourself doing it is exciting because you go, ooh, I'm noticing, you know, and then, and you can do that. You can notice when you do that, or you can, you know, like if you put yourself, don't, like, it's a great exercise also. Don't shit on yourself. It's exhausting. Nobody wants to hear it. And you're fine, you know? Like, just be kinder to yourself. Be as kind to yourself as you would to any asshole on the street, I have a feeling, you know? Right. And because it takes up a lot of space, all of this. God, I'm so anxious all the time, but not all the time.
Well, so I'm bad at the present. I'm bad at focusing on the present. But what I've found that has helped me is focusing on the future, but like making up scenarios in my head that are really positive. So I don't play the lottery, but I constantly plan on when I win, like what will happen. And like the houses I'll buy and who I'll give, like how much money I'll give to the people that have been nice to me that week and all that. So my question to you is there anything in the future, whether it's real or not, that you tell yourself to make yourself feel better that makes you hopeful for the future? I know there's a lot going on now, but is there anything like glimmers of reality that make you excited for the future?
I never think about the future. I never think about the future. I don't know why. I don't, do I? I mean, sometimes I think about the future in terms of like, what can I get done before this thing that will take away any anxiety that I have around it. But I've never, like, when people go 5 years from now, where do you, I never think about, I just never think to think of it. Do I ever think about the future? I never think about the, I, for some reason, I'm not saying that's good. It's like a weird thing about, I've never made a, I don't plan things. Has the Apple Watch. You're doing everything right. I'm sorry. That's just me being distracted. I mean, this is, you can look at your Apple Watch. My anxiety comes out in other ways, I guess. Is everyone completely focused on me at all times? Okay. Yeah. I've got it all figured out. Don't worry. All
right. I'm just still thinking about how happy I am that Tom Hanks got over COVID. I mean, that was something I think we really all felt. You know, that was my favorite thing. He's like, I was so anxious. I mean, Tom Hanks had COVID.
They do. Like, and then it rained in LA.
It rained,
I mean,
yeah.
And then, but it is scary when CVS doesn't have your meds.
Also, when Tom Hanks is sick, it's all scary stuff. Yeah. Yeah. I remember when the first time I heard Meg Ryan got a cold, it really upset me. These are not references for the 25-year-old. All right. What do you want to put up?
Oh shit. I thought we were going to end at 9:30. All right. Let's, the next laugh will end. All right. Thank you. I knew this would happen where I never end it.
There's four more questions I see. You want to knock them all out? Is that cool?
One, two, three, four. Okay. But look at this bitch with five.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I didn't mean to say this bitch. Huh? All right.
Right.
Let's power through five.
Power.
And then we're done. Is that okay? Are you guys, I'm so worried that I, right. that I'm, okay. 9:34. All right. So we'll, okay.
Go ahead, name. Hi, I'm Jamie. I'm 51 too. I'll be 52 in November. And what's
it is November.
So my question's about menopause and how you forget everything. I'm wondering if you, and not assuming you're going through menopause, but if you have had symptoms, what has helped you get through it?
I don't know what you're talking about.
What?
I had my period twice, and they were both two Februaries ago. But yeah, no, I'm fully. It's funny because about a year ago, my therapist, my gynecologist, said, I think it's time to go off of birth control. And I go, oh, okay. But just so you know, I'm still sexually active. And she goes, yeah, don't worry about it. I was like, fuck you. I'm going to get pregnant just to spite you and then get an abortion just to spite the half the country. And then I went through the whole, like, 3 costume changes a night, just drenched, just soaking wet hair, soaking wet everything, just drenched. And I started, is this interesting? I took some progesterone, that really helped, but then I went off of that, and now I put estrogen up my pussy like twice a week. And it's been great.
Yeah.
And we have 4 more?
Yeah. Yes.
But it is, isn't it funny that there, and I've said this a couple times before, but there's not a woman version of emasculating. And we feel it so much, especially now, right? And, but we don't have a word for that. There's not a word for it.
It's masculating.
It's masculating. No, it's not that. It's definitely not that.
All right. Name, question.
Hi. Hi, Rory.
Hi.
Hi, Sarah. Oh, I'm already getting flustery. I'm so happy to be here tonight. My name is Kim, and you guys are so fun.
Aww.
And I listen to your podcast a lot via YouTube. I'm the other YouTuber. And I just want to know when you'll do your show in L.A., your bedwetter. Yay!
Oh, I don't know. We're hopefully going to move in and go back up in New York on I don't know what
state
I'm in, Illinois, in the fall. So then it will be at that where is it, the Pantages or whatever on Hollywood, probably, maybe, if it does well. I have no idea. I don't know how theater works. It's been a real learning curve. I was like, we could do this in 6 months. 10 years later, here we are. We did it. I don't know. But thank you.
It's really great. You should try to go to New York.
Yeah, Rory.
I loved it. It's great.
I caught Rory unlawfully recording in there.
I did. I bootlegged the whole fucking thing.
No.
And then I went to Canal Street and sold it. It was awesome.
I remember.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Don't raise your hand.
Is this part of the original 5? I feel like we're.
I know, but that looks like it could
being
be a good
duped.
One.
All right.
Go ahead. Come on. We got it. We can't. We got.
Okay, we pass the mic down.
Hey, Sarah. I'm Candace.
Hi, Candace.
Big fan. I have your show on DVD, like other people, and I consider you the baby penis in my mind all the time. So, but I just have a super light question, not deep like anybody else here.
Great.
What is your favorite board game? Did you ever play board games growing up, or do you play modern board games? And what's your favorite board game?
My best friend, Tall John, has like board game nights, and he lives 6 houses away from me, and he does not invite me because I did like Trivial Pursuit when I was a kid. That was fun. And we played this game where you like make up the end of a sentence and then everybody reads it or something. I don't remember what it was called, but I don't know. I'm not really into board games. I don't like that. What is it? Crimes Against Humanity or
Cards Against Humanity?
Yeah, I don't like Crimes Against Humanity either, but not as much as I don't like Cards Against Humanity. I just find it very uncreative. I have no interest in it. But I do play poker, and I like that. And I like being around my friends, you know. But I don't like to be beholden to like a board and things like Monopoly. I just never understood. It sounds like work to me. But a fun question. All right.
All right. Where am I? Shit. All right. You're number 5. Our number 4 is right here.
All right. We're 2 down. We're two to the end.
Hey, Sarah. How's it going?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing well. So what I've realized about myself is that my favorite comedians have a genuine lunacy or absurdity that's interwoven into their personality. So when I think of someone like Norm or Louie or even Reggie Watts, I was wondering how much lunacy do you think you have in yourself, and what are the advantages and disadvantages of that lunacy in comedy, in life in general?
Lunacy. The question is, do I have lunacy?
Oh, just a little taste of it.
Lunacy. 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 Lunacy.
Oh, like L-U-N-A-C-Y.
No, I'm just saying it too many times and now I don't know what it means. Yeah. It's like lunacy. Craziness. Lunacy. Well, I think like comedians have like some license to explore that and have it be a part of them, whereas a lot of people have like feel they need to stamp it out. But there's a freedom in that, I think. Does that sound like what you would imagine I would say? And do I want to say that? Huh? Yeah. I mean, what is lunacy really, though? Especially when you've said it 8 times and you're like, what are the sounds my mouth is making? Burger King. All right, here we go.
Final question.
Dad, we're winding down. Oh, my dad's here.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I totally forgot you guys were here. Hi. Dad, we're winding down. Hey, Schleppy, why don't you stand up, give a little wave, can you? There he is. I remember many years ago when I was dating Jimmy Kimmel.
What?
Oh, my God, this is so awkward. I know you were just with him. I remember saying, like, my dad does this weird thing where he, like, does this. And he just looked at me, and I was like, what? And he goes, you do that. And I had no idea. Well, all right, here we
go. Final question of the evening.
The pressure's on. I don't know.
Man, the pressure. Okay, so the first is a question.
The first is?
And the second... No, but it's little. And the second is like sort of a comment because it was a question about Chappelle, but now it's a little comment. Okay. So first, I am also a Jew from the Northeast, but from a little town where there weren't many of us.
Where?
Canton, Massachusetts.
Oh, Canton. Yeah. I've
You heard
Canton.
Of it? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I have.
Really like, and when I heard you say this evening that with friends and people, it would be like, yeah, I'm a Jew, but not really, like not really Jewish. And that's exactly who I was. And with the name Carrie, I could tweak it to Carrie and be Irish and whatever it was. But then tonight you said, I'm like an urban Jew now. And then I hear you say things like, what's with him? And Jewish comments. And I had a point in my life where I decided to embrace those things. And I was wondering if that is something that also happened for you, just based on what you said this evening.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, I didn't know I was Jewish until, I mean, my sister, Rabbi Susie, says it best, is like, my parents have no religion, you know, they're you know, agnostic at best. Mm-hmm. And like, and, and Susie would say, like, we just thought being Jewish meant being a Democrat because we were in New Hampshire. But you feel it because people are aware that you're Jewish, and then that makes you aware of it because you're like, oh, is that different? Or, you know. And then, so it's almost like, I feel almost not defined by anti-Semitism, but it's what's made me feel most Jewish in a way, because it makes me go, it's kind of like when you like go, oh, my mom's a fucking bitch and blah, 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 and then your friend goes, yes, your mom's a bitch, and you're like, what'd you say about my mom? It feels like that, you know, like, and I feel very culturally Jewish, and it's, you know, it's, but anyway, Does that answer that? That answered that. 9:45. That was a great night. An hour and 45 minutes. And thank you so much. This went well, I think, and will be interesting. And gosh, I sure love you all. And thanks.